It's easy to admit that my entire world revolves around my girlfriend. I know it's embarrassing to have your entire life in the palm of a romantic partner, but she fills the void in my empty life. I've never been close to my immediate family and moved out at the age of 18. I'm now 25, happily dating my partner, Isabel, for the past 4 years. We bonded very early on our relationship over our broken family ties. She never dove into her family history and would often become uncomfortable if I kept pushing the envelope. She had numerous scars littered across her body. The most terrifying scar, the one that shook me to my core, was carved into the center of her body, cut deep into her pearly skin. The number 666. She usually covered it with bandages of some sort, and it took her a long time to find the courage to show it to me. That alone should have been enough for me to understand that what she went through was truly hell on earth. My girlfriend has always talked in her sleep, something I noticed once we moved in together. I work remotely and usually stay up most nights, so she's always the first one knocked out. Most of the time, it's just gibberish, so I ignored it. It was a normal work night for both of us. I had just finished washing the dishes as Isabel scurried off into the bedroom to read her book. Afterward, I made my way to the bedroom. Isabel was huddled in the corner of the bed, fixated on her book. I interrupted. "Hey, I have to finish up some extra work." She looked up, groaning.
"Oh, babe, I'm sorry."
I let out a sigh. "I'll be done in a couple of hours, so get some rest for tomorrow." She smiled and jumped up, embracing me. I whispered, "I love you. Good night, my goddess." She chuckled.
"I love you so much. Get some shut-eye, my Superman."
I regretfully stumbled off into my office, dreading the work I had to do. After a few hours, I quietly stepped into the bedroom. The room felt brisk as I inched closer to the bed. Isabel lay stiff on her back, letting out subtle snores. I climbed into bed carefully, not wanting to wake her. As I adjusted myself, I turned toward her, observing every little movement she made. I kissed her lightly on the cheek and softly said, "Good night, my love." As I rolled over and began to drift off, I heard a soft giggle come from Isabel's direction. I flipped back over. She was still sound asleep. I thought nothing of it as I stared at her for a few seconds. Then, she began to mumble. I couldn't understand it, so I inched my ear closer to her mouth. The words that erupted suddenly rose in tone.
"They need me. They want to kill me. They want to take me."
She chanted the same words over and over. Her body slowly rose upright. In one swift motion, her head snapped toward me. I heard soft giggles behind me. I felt the presence of someone lurking there as the sound drowned out everything else. I was frozen, still fixated on Isabel as she continued chanting toward me. My heart pounded as my thoughts spiraled out of control. I furiously grabbed Isabel by the shoulders. The giggles vanished. The chanting stopped immediately. Her eyes slowly opened as she stared at me with a confused but welcoming expression. Tears streamed down my face as I tried to speak, but no words came out. She tilted her head, perplexed.
"Honey, what's wrong?"
I shook my head, still in disbelief at what had just happened. She smiled. Then, her grin began to widen. In a dark tone, she hissed,
"I'm going to rip out your intestines and hang you up like the tool you are."
Her body went limp, collapsing into the sea of pillows. I gasped in utter disbelief. The room went silent once again. I lay back down, forcing myself to sleep and forget the horror I had just witnessed. I silently wept until I finally drifted off. I awoke to the bright sun searing into my eyes. Isabel was gone from the bed. I shot upright, frantically searching for her. I darted into the living room and noticed her car was missing. I quickly realized she was already at work. Still half asleep, I stumbled into the kitchen, where a note from Isabel sat waiting for me. It was a sweet message of encouragement, mentioning she'd be picking up a special dessert for dinner. Needless to say, I didn't work that day. All the dread and confusion from the night before flooded my thoughts. I spent the entire day trying to rationalize what the hell had truly occurred. I had no answers. I didn't text her or tell her about it. I didn't want to ruin her day with something I couldn't comprehend. Honestly, I was scared. Call it intuition, or whatever the hell you want, but she was aware during that moment. I don't know if she was under some supernatural control or playing some horrific joke to get me to stop working late. I dreaded the hours ticking down to sunset. As the sun set, I heard the hum of her car pulling into the driveway. I trembled as I approached the front door, my palms slick with sweat as I grabbed the handle. I forced myself forward and swung the door open. I was greeted by the most beautiful smile I'd ever seen. She held a package of cookies from our favorite late-night spot. She dropped them and wrapped her arms around me.
"I missed you so much,"
she whispered into my ear.
"How was your day?"
I slowly pulled away, the fear from the night before flooding back. She looked at me, confused.
"What's wrong? Did something happen today?"
I quivered. Nothing, babe. I'm just exhausted. I had a lot of meetings earlier." She smiled and hugged me again. We went inside and laid down on the couch. She began crunching into her cookies as I studied her, tension building in my chest. I knew I had to ask. I leaned closer, maintaining eye contact.
"Something strange happened last night," I whispered.
"Do you remember anything?" She gripped my leg.
"Honey, stop messing around. I was asleep last night."
I tilted my head in confusion. Suddenly, a loud bang came from outside.
"Did you hear that?" I asked.
I snapped my head toward Isabel. In pure horror, she was on all fours atop the couch, lapping methodically. In the same dark, familiar tone, she hissed,
"Stop asking questions, or I'll leave you in a pool of blood," I screamed.
"Oh, what the hell are you doing?"
She dropped down and closed the distance between us. I felt her warm breath against my skin. I shoved her back, screaming her name over and over. She fell to the floor, slowly lifting her head.
"Why are you yelling at me? What the hell is wrong with you?"
She stood, tears streaming down her face.
"Leave me alone for the night and get a grip,"
she snapped before storming into the bedroom and slamming the door. I began questioning my sanity. I retreated to the guest room, replaying everything in my head. My only conclusion was that her past trauma was manifesting somehow. It wasn't solid, but something was terribly wrong. I eventually drifted off. I awoke, giggling. I jumped up and flipped on the lights. Nothing. I checked my phone. 3:33 a.m. The giggling started again, this time right outside the door. I worried about Isabel and rushed toward the bedroom. The door was already open. She was gone. I called her name repeatedly. No response. Then I heard quiet sobbing from the bathroom. I cautiously approached and turned on the light.
"Baby, what are you doing?"
She was kneeling on the cold tile floor. Concern washed over me as I noticed blood soaking her clothes. I rushed to her, begging her to tell me what happened. No response, just sobbing.
"They're here,"
she whispered.
"I feel it."
Giggling erupted behind us. I turned toward the doorway. A woman stood there, draped in a red robe with a hood pulled low over her face. The smell of rot filled my nostrils.
"We have come back for you, my daughter,"
she crooned. She raised a butcher knife. I charged her, adrenaline taking over. She stabbed me in the back as I grabbed her, lifting her off the ground, screaming through the pain. I threw her through the window without hesitation. Glass shattered as her body tumbled outside, hitting the ground below. Cold air rushed into the room as I stared down at her lifeless form. When I looked back, I froze in complete shock. Surrounding the entire right side of my house were nearly 40 individuals dressed in red robes. They stood like statues, staring directly at me. I ran back to Isabel, who was still kneeling on the floor, crying. I demanded to know what the hell was happening and asked for her phone. She glanced up at me, tears in her eyes, and muttered,
"It's my family. I should have told you earlier. But they never did anything messed up to me, like you always believed."
I stuttered.
"But your body, and you never want to open up about your past,"
she mumbled back.
"I was born to be a vessel. They worship who I will become. It's almost time for me to relinquish my body and soul."
Confused beyond comprehension, I was speechless. The adrenaline began to wear off, and I felt a sharp pain gushing from my back. I stumbled, pulling Isabel into my arms. She embraced me, apologizing over and over.
"We have to leave or call the cops,"
I pleaded. She shook her head in refusal. I refused to give up. I stood, gripping her hand, urging her to come with me. We stumbled toward the guest room to grab my phone. 4 men, adorned in red robes, marched upstairs, blocking the hallway. I clenched my teeth and ripped the knife from my back. They rushed us. I stabbed the first man in the gut, using my body weight to hurl him over the railing. Another man grabbed me from behind, slamming me into the wall. I was pinned down by both of them. I watched helplessly as the last man dragged the love of my life downstairs. I screamed and begged for them to stop. Isabel never broke eye contact with me as they pulled her away.
"Matt, I love you,"
she cried.
"It doesn't matter how long. If I still have a soul, I swear I'll meet you again."
I could do nothing but watch. I was dragged downstairs and tied up. They carried me outside, where I was met with the sight of a burning cross. Her voice shifted into that same dark tone as she proclaimed,
"Yes, it's time for me to be reborn."
My entire world was destroyed in seconds. She was my soulmate, truly and completely. I don't know how long the chanting lasted, minutes or hours blurred together as the fire climbed higher, as her body was engulfed in flames. Something else emerged, an abomination wearing her skin. The thing approached me, laughing maliciously. The stench of rot poured from its breath as it roared in my face.
"You're never going to see her again,"
it sneered.
"She's in hell right now, burning as we speak."
It bared its new fangs inches from my face. I spat at it, refusing to speak. It struck me across the face and proclaimed its new name. Kali, the source of destruction, of love and faith. She grabbed a knife from one of her followers and dangled it before me. Leaning close, she whispered into my ear,
"I still have a use for you, mortal."
I trembled as Kali carved deep into my chest, etching her signature numbers into my flesh. Darkness overtook me. The last thing I saw was the grin plastered across her beautiful face. I woke to find my wounds completely healed. Months have passed since that night. At first, I was lost. The person I devoted my entire existence to was gone. But I turned that emptiness into purpose. Revenge. I've been training, preparing. I know the cult and their deity still have plans for me, but I intend to strike first. I've followed every lead, studied every trace they left behind. Through my research, I discovered that the scar Kali carved into my chest glows whenever I'm near her. I'm currently hunkered down near the woods on the East Coast. The mark burned just hours ago. There's a ranch nearby where prominent members of the cult reside. I'm going to get answers. And I'm going to get revenge. My intuition tells me Isabel isn't completely gone yet. She's trapped, unable to move on, while her body still walks this earth. I will see you again, my love.
Thank you for listening and delving with me into the dark together.
Please remember to leave a thumbs up and subscribe if you feel so inclined. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others.
Thus, the following will grow.
All stories read in this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, and just about everywhere else. Links in the description.
Thank you for listening and feeding the cause. We'll be seeing you.